I'm Apostolos Boutzinis, and I'm a partner at Milbank. And it's a great pleasure to be presenting this panel today on the internationalization of the capital markets and the prospects of Greek issuers, financials, and corporates in connection with attracting foreign investors in the field of capital markets. I'm joined today by three great panelists. We have Yanos Kontopoulos, who is the CEO of the Athens Stock Exchange, who cannot be with us today, unfortunately, in physical presence, but he can see us and we can hear him. And then here with me, I have two great friends and colleagues, Dimitris Kofitsas, who is a senior executive at Goldman Sachs, running the Greek and Cypriot business and many other things. And Konstantinos Konstopoulos, again, a senior managing director who also runs Greece with great success. The two of them are very experienced investment bankers, and hopefully they will give us a good summary of what the state of play is today and what we can expect in 2025. Only in 30 seconds, if I may, I'll do a brief introduction, and then I will hand over to Yanos to talk to us about the Athens Stock Exchange developments in 2024 and his outlook for 2025. But as a capital markets lawyer, what I would say is a good snapshot of reality at the beginning of December 2024 is the following. I think globally, certainly in the rich world, North America and Europe, there has been a soft landing in relation to the recessionary fears as a result of high interest rates. I think inflation in most rich countries is going down and is declining. Certainly, more or less and broadly, the economic prospects in the developed world are sunnier. And the international financial markets have responded in the usual way, mostly up on the equities, and then in the debt markets, the declining interest rates have obviously created a very positive momentum. I would say that, for example, last 2 weeks, we saw the highest primary issuance of debt in North America. We had about $63 billion of new primary issuance in North American markets only in the last 2 weeks. And then on each of the active weeks in October and November, we have seen record primary issuance in the European markets, both investment grade and leveraged finance. So overall, with a lot of caveats, but overall a positive view. So against that international background, Yano, we would like you to talk to us about the Athens Stock Exchange, the prospects of the Greek organized market, what you've seen in 2024, and your outlook for 2025. So the floor is yours.
Thank you, Apostole. I was actually debating whether I should keep my camera open or not. My wife often tells me I have a great face for the radio, but I guess you've lost, and I'm going to keep it open. I have to say also, there's a caveat to whatever I say next, because I've been a bit under the weather. I'm on my way out, but hopefully I'll make sense in terms of what I say. Starting with the trends, we have the fourth year in a row of most likely, year is not over, but most likely we'll do well. It will be a positive year. In terms of trading activity, we had another year of significant double-digit increase in our trading activity, which is one of the main aspects of what we're looking to improve here. And it's also the third year in a row that we had this significant increase. Foreign institutional investors have remained dominant, actually have become even more dominant. More in terms, both in terms of ownership, also in terms of trading activity in our market. What really underpins all this is the excellent fundamentals of our listed companies for the third year in a row. It looks like we're going to make a 15-16 year record in terms of the bottom line, both for a number of individual firms and also in totality. The market this year raised about 5 billion euros, evenly split between new capital and private placements. So it's things are starting to move, if I may say. Now, in terms of what I consider to be pivotal events for 2024 in our markets, and I think hopefully it signifies that we've been busy, is that we had the introduction of a new rule book for our markets after 24 years, which aimed at protecting the end investor and principally emphasizing the use of free float for listed companies and ultimately aiming at improving liquidity. We had the onset of a new pricing policy for our trading members to encourage them to participate in the market and add depth. That has also been successful so far. We had the introduction of an upgrade of our trading system, which is homegrown. We fell in terms of about a month ago in terms of our SPID, speed of trading below a millisecond. And the we've also reached some significant landmarks in terms of the processing, the speed processing of messages and data dissemination. So I think we're in a different stage than we were a few years and even as early as last year. Importantly, we have proceeded to join the watch list from two agencies for an upgrade to developed market status from S&P and FTSE Russell. So I think we started that race in 2024. When it comes to the chapter of ESG, we have published our new ESG market disclosure guide, which I think is the reference guide for the Greek market. Well, I should add that we are the first exchange in Europe to have just concluded a few weeks ago a double materiality study, which is, I'm not going to go into details of what that means, but it's a significant reference point in all things ESG. We had, aside from this one, which I didn't manage to make it live, but we had some critical roadshows in strategizing and thinking about extroversion for the Greek market with Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, Societe Generale in London, New York, and in Paris. We had three very interesting roadshows concluding for our mid-caps, and also for the first time, we had a very successful small-cap conference in Greece where we had more than 100 institutional investors present. So we've covered the gamut, and we are planning to remain very active into next year.
Can I go back to the point you were making about moving from the emerging market index? Just for background, can you enlighten us what is the significance of that development? How is that going to be useful, and what are you expecting to derive from that?
Well, in a very short way of stating it, if you think you have a good product, and especially if you think you have a good product in a difficult business cycle internationally, you want to expose that good product to the largest possible audience. And the largest, deeper audience is basically the group of investors that focus on developed markets. At this stage, we're still labeled as an emerging market. And that means that a lot of our active investors are not able to invest in the Greek stock exchange and its listed companies. So the whole purpose is to effectively increase the gamut of international investors, institutional investors that invest in Greece, and ultimately give the subsequent benefits to our listed companies and the market overall in terms of liquidity.
Thank you, Yano. I think, Yano, you'll appreciate we have on the panel two of the great houses that will bring you, both new investors and new issuers. So I will turn to them just to understand a little bit your perspective. I mean, we've listened to Yanos and his outlook for the market. Maybe systematically, maybe we can hit debt capital markets, equity capital markets, sovereign, and then perhaps we'll see if there's any other business in the end, maybe private equity, etc. But Dimitri, maybe I'll start with you, and then Costa, please feel free to
thank you, Apostle.
To make before, a comment. Yes.
Yeah, before we go to DCM, I would like to also comment on Yanos about EM versus DM status. Politically, it makes sense for Greece to be at developed market status. Italy, Spain are for years. There are long-term benefits for that, fully agree. However, we think that it will be a period of adjustment. You will lose a lot of emerging market funds if this will happen. It will be a period of pain, short-term, for the long-term, basically, benefit. And currently, people want to invest in Philippines, in Turkey, in Poland, they invest in Greece, right? So if you are in DM status, people will invest in NVIDIA, or in Microsoft, and then or at LBJ or Eurobank. So there is a big debate around that.
But don't you think we should, however, take the short-term pay
absolutely.
And sort of move category, move class?
Absolutely. But one more data point. We've done an analysis for Israel, which, again, it was 10 years ago, an emerging market, went to developed market status, and there was a $50 billion of outflows in the first year because of this transition. Fully agree, long-term, this should be the target. But will be a bit of adjustment. I don't understand if you agree with that.
Fully agree. I have to say I've never felt closer to Goldman than today, right?
Yes.
Sharing a panel, sharing a microphone as well. But jokes aside, look, I think the points that everyone is making are absolutely valid. And then in the end of the day, if we have to keep one message out of this year, which was arguably a very, very busy year for all of us, is that the markets are wide open. Investors are looking towards Greece now, not under the flavor or the context of an emerging market or a story that is coming out of its ashes, but actually a mature market. Obviously, this comes with expectations. It comes also with great opportunity, Apostle, as you said, because I feel that Greek issuers nowadays can actually look into the long term and actually make decisions for a very sustainable capital structure looking ahead.
What are people telling you, like investors? Obviously, there's a lot of positive news. There is often a triumphant tone in conferences like this. I mean, there must be also some concerns. What do you think the people are raising?
It's a very good question, and I think it sort of like touches a little bit on what you said before and what Dimitri said, which is, I think the mindset of Greek issuers, no matter if we're talking about equity, we're talking about debt, or about businesses that are thinking of selling a large minority or a majority to a private equity, as you said, I think they need to move a little bit away from the mindset of the Greek recovery story, the miracle of Greece, and actually focus to what it's important, which is solid business plans, solid management teams, delivering a vision, a strategy, and being consistent, right? And this is how I feel Greek corporates and Greek issuers will be touched upon in the next few years as we're moving to the developed market status now.
Yeah, on this point, Apostole, I would think about three key pillars. One is the macro, which I think Greece ticks the box. So there's no question about that, but political stability, growth premium compared to Eurozone. Number two is sector, as Sardino said. I think people have become more micro and non-macro, so they need to see the sector. For example, 24, we see banks benefiting from interest rates, companies active in the energy sector. People are a bit more cautious on commodity-linked companies, right? Because of the super cycle having commodities, people are afraid that power prices will go down, commodities will go down. So companies are exposed, a lot of exposed in commodity basically prices. And then it'd be more cautious. And number three, I would say technical in the point of Yanos and liquidity. Look, we have, let's say, 10, 15, on the equity side, right? 10, 15 big companies in Greece, maybe 20. 5 million per day, I think, is the minimum that people will look at this. Ideally, 10 million, right? Especially, if you go to the Middle East and the Gulf, the big Middle East sovereign funds, they need to see 10 million per day liquidity, which is a very, very high mark. But I think we need to see more liquidity. This will happen through, education, investment marketing, and also placements that are happening and will happen in the next few years.
Costadine, on the ECM front, we've seen a very strong market in 2024. There were the HFSF placements, the first very significant new IPO on the Athens Stock Exchange with Athens International Airport, a few other deals. Can you talk a little bit about the lessons that we've learned during this this period from investors on the attractiveness, what they're looking for, any interesting points that came up. As you said, it's no longer, or maybe it is a recovery story, but people are always looking ahead for new opportunity. Just give us a sense of what went on in these deals.
No, Apostle, you're absolutely right. It was, as I said in the beginning, a busy year. We had the banks, or actually HFSF exiting the stakes of the banks. We had Piraeus Bank and NBG doing large placements. Obviously, it was the Synergy deal, the one that my my friend and colleague Dimitris has done an excellent job with. We had a placement on Mytilineos, Metlen, and of course also a deal with Jumbo. So I struggle to remember a year in which ECM was so topical, was so busy, and I think the lesson is what I said before. I think the markets are there. People are keen to invest in Greek companies with a long-term vision. This was not the case up until very recently. So good management teams, solid business plans, they do get a lot of traction. And I think if there is one message that potentially we can actually derive from that is that you don't need to be the biggest, the most visible company out of Greece. By doing a proper job, by having a vision that you can clearly communicate, smaller issuers can actually come to the market. They can internationalize their capital markets, sorry, their capital structure. And people or investors are very receptive to that. And I think that's the one thing that I would like to keep from this year. People want to see more coming out of Greece.
Dimitri, do you, I mean, you know, for this group here, we have done a lot of deals over the years, and we used to see more or less the same people, you know, coming back again and again, you know, the bank recapitalizations, some of the rescue deals that were sort of the more difficult deals. Do you see now new classes of investors being interested in Greece that had not come to the country before? And have we seen that in 2024, or is this still work in progress?
Yeah, look, I think that's a very important question. So I think we have seen a number of investors more active in the country the past 2 years because of big placements, mainly the banks and some corporates. So I don't think any of the top investors in the US or in Europe they need another listing or to invest in another country. I think Athex and Greece can offer, especially the big companies. But I think there is a pool of investors who are not yet active. If you go to Asia, very limited activity across asset classes. GGBs, DCM, ECM, nobody's investing in Greece from Asia, for example, right? Middle East is, again, pool of capital is developing. We've seen some big accounts active in ECM, but I think we need to see more. And number three, continental Europe has also played a role. So Italy, Spain, France is a big investor, especially on the fixed income side. And also, look, the Greek audience has been very helpful in recent transactions, right? So through the Greek banks and the Greek brokers, they have helped a lot to drive execution and price tension, which, don't forget, this is a very important element. So having a healthy Greek retail to trade the stocks and support transactions is super important. In Turkey, they have it. In Italy, they have it. In Spain, they have it. Because of the crisis, we never had this, right? So I think gradually, as macro is improving, we need to see policy, right, to improve maybe tax incentives. I'm not a politician, but maybe, you know, we need to incentivize people, retail, after private bank, to invest more in Greek securities. People buy real estate in Greece primarily, right, but they invest less on Greek stocks, right, or fixed income.
No, I fully agree, and I think that's a point that it's extremely important. I think another lesson that we're seeing over the past 2 years, and if I remember correctly, I also tried to touch upon it on last year's panel, is that the Greek ecosystem is now developing. And of course, the stock market is part of this ecosystem, probably the most important pillar of this ecosystem. But then again, everything around it, it seems to be getting at the right place to support a healthy functioning of the market. And Dimitris is right, and you did mention that other markets in Europe do have it. It feels that Greece is on the right path, but it's also very important to be seeing that these markets, which I think also you mentioned, are very helpful to the Greek effort. Right, on the fixed income side, it was probably a year we saw a record Italian interest in the issuances, for example, which is it shows not only that you know, the rest of continental Europe is coming along to see the opportunity in Greece, but also the fact that individual countries are developing their own ecosystems that can be very, very helpful towards issuers.
Yano, I don't know if you can hear this conversation, but the summary, and I, there's a question coming for you. The summary is that strong and efficient public markets, including retail investors and, of course, institutionals, including in an organized fashion like the Athens Stock Exchange, are very important not only for the existing pool of capital, but also very important for new investment, because obviously private equity funds or private venture capital, they need an exit, right? So it's an ecosystem where the liquidity of the organized market has a positive effect on the willingness of foreign investors to do other forms of investment, in the hope that there is a strong and liquid market to use for an exit. So if that is true and you agree with that, maybe on the institutional front, my question is, are you broadly happy with the institutional and legal support for the organized markets in Greece? Are there things that you want to see perhaps improving a bit? I know that you're very active in this regard, and I know that you have a great relationship with the Hellenic Capital Markets Commission, but from your perspective, you know, is the reform agenda complete, or are things that you want to see improving on your on the horizon?
All right, let me first disagree with something that was stated before, respectfully. But what Dimitri said, I think, is it needs a little bit more digging. To begin with, analysts have said, aside from that we shouldn't aim for developed market status, that it won't happen. Okay, that was a few months ago. So let's wake up, start thinking that analysts sometimes might not be that correct or all over. We need to do our own homework. And ultimately, I think we need to have, that's important, and I said that 2 years ago, we need to have a winning mentality here. We have an excellent product, both macro and micro. We need to believe in it, and we need to showcase it. And it's not an accident that the foreign investors have taken most of the upside so far. Okay, I think what was said before in terms of the retail, taking time to come up with to the opportunities that the Greek market has to offer, is unfortunately a natural implication. We've had significant increase in retail participation in Greece too, but from very low levels. I think that's the last chapter that needs to be resolved. But ultimately, we need to understand that we need to be aiming for, you know, the super league of the markets. We cannot be aiming for, you know, second category, second division. You can always do well in the second division, but bad things tend to happen in second division. And we know that in difficult markets. So if people are concerned about what the future lies ahead, you want to have the right label attached to you. Also, just to be more specific, I think the Israel example is totally misplaced. Israel is not part of Europe. When you're part of Europe, that means that when you move to developed markets where they tend to emphasize a lot the sectoral allocation, a lot of your big companies will automatically go into sectoral indices, and that's going to make a huge difference. The job of the good brokers and the brokers who are going to take advantage of this opportunity is to find and take advantage of the transition, the right end investors who will actually jump in into that transition. And the metric that matters here is not the passive investors. The passive investors in developed markets is roughly about $1 trillion, same number in emerging markets, but in active investors, the gap is tremendous. There are about more than 14 trillion of assets invested in developed markets and just 1 trillion of actively disposed assets looking at emerging markets. So as I said before, if you have a good product and you are in a good cycle, you want to go there. Now, just to give the last caveat, if I'm wrong, I can always press the button and put myself back into emerging markets. But unfortunately, I cannot press the button and go to developed markets. I need to do a lot of work. So a lot of this work has already taken place. And thanks to the efforts of a lot of people in the ecosystem, both locally and abroad, including the two gentlemen that are part of our panel. So what I want to say is aim high, and that I think applies to all of us. What I want to see in terms, I want to answer your question. So I think I left myself probably 10 seconds to answer your second question. But look, I think, as I said, where we're lacking is the retail side. And I think that naturally will wake up, but we need to give them some incentives. I don't think that it's only tax incentives that make the difference, but they help. They help at least trigger the interest in general. But what I think we need to do is educate. And as we probably most of your attendees know, there you cannot really force Greeks into a meeting room and teach them stuff about economic literacy. At the end of the day, what matters is personal interest. On that, they are very, very similar to the Americans. So what we need to do, what I think is missing, and I'm going to work very strongly on that, is the introduction of an individual retirement account in Greece. Because I think that's what's going to be the main motivation and the right way of educating young Greeks, especially, of the benefits of becoming a nation of savers and investors. Now, short term, just not to make it, an aspirational comment here. There is a legislation that's coming in the course of the next few months, hopefully, probably the very first quarter of the year, that the Ministry of Finance has been preparing for capital markets. We worked a lot on our part in terms of giving backdrop and information and direction to the extent possible to the people who are going to pull the trigger here. And I think it's going to be important. And I'm not going to say anything more about it because I don't want to steal the thunder of the people who actually worked on that. But, stay tuned. It's coming up.
Thank you very much, Yano. I don't know, David, if you want to give maybe a quick comment on my view is that I don't think you said that it was going to be a disaster. I
fully agree with Yanos that this is the aspiration, this is the target, but I don't think there is free lunch, right? So with some pain, I think, as the market is developing, it becomes more liquid, we can sustain the pain and go to the next direction. I think, Yano, we agree. I'm just saying there is a bumpy road. It's not a downhill. So I think one other point, which I think we didn't cover, is private equity activity in Greece. I think if you look at the ECM activity the last 2 years, it's primarily government-led. Athens Airport, government-led. Piraeus NBG, government-led. We haven't seen the corporate sector. I mean, obviously, Metlen, Jumbo, there are smaller placements, yes, but the big transactions primarily were government initiated, right? So we haven't seen private equity companies active in Greece thinking IPO as an exit. I think that's something we need to work on, right? And
it's very important because
to give you an example, the biggest IPO in Europe was Ganderma in Switzerland. It was a private equity backed transaction. They do Botox and fillers. That was a sponsor-backed IPO. So in Greece, we don't have that yet, but there is a lot of infra investors, private equity investors who are active. I'm not saying, we are, all of them are active, but I don't think we need to do more work on that.
But you're not saying, though, that the smaller capital, local capital market is the reason we don't see. It's one of the reasons, right? But there's probably other structural issues why private equity has not yet, or mainstream buyout funds have not yet entered the country. Maybe it's the size of the local targets. It's a smaller market, and some of them are quite significant. So maybe there are other reasons there as well. But I don't know, Costadina, what's your view?
Look, my view is that if you think about it, and if you look at the size of the market, the reality is that over the last 2-3 years, we have actually seen an activity of private equity money or private equity-like money entering the country. It was back in 2022 that the Sunny Ecos transaction closed and it was sold to GIC. Obviously, even this year, we had Turn Energy being sold to Masdar. Masdar is not a private equity per se, but it's closer to this sort of like private market majority control type of investor that the private equity usually is. We sold the minority stake of Pharos, which is a very prominent pharmaceutical business, and it was actually partly an exit of a local private equity fund that sold a 25% stake plus some stake that the initial founders added. And then Armira, which is a German family office private equity investor, enter the Greece and the market for the first time. So I think the activity is increasing. We do see new names coming in, people that were not around Greece before, or people that would literally hang up on us on the line when we mentioned an opportunity in Greece. We had Mid Europa buying Famar. That's another private equity type of transaction. So my gut feeling is that to the extent that the Greek capital markets continue function the way they do, and the more we see of those private equity funds actually buying into the Greek economy and Greek companies, statistically speaking, some of these exits should be through the IPO market. Obviously, it's upon the ecosystem we discussed, also upon the banks as well, to make sure that some of this activity is directed to the Greek capital markets.
That's great. I think we probably have maybe 1 minute to see if there is any question from the audience. I think that's a wrap then. Thank you very much. Thank you all, and thank you, Yanos. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yanos. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Apostle. Thank you. I was afraid someone is going to ask us to do a duet now that we have a minute.
We should take this photograph, Goldman and Morgan Stanley together.
That was a wonderful statement. I never quite closer to Goldman. Next year. By the way, thank you to these two gentlemen for being the lead sponsors of the conference, and Apostole, you're always a big pillar of this. So thank you very much. So let's go to the next panel, please. I will invite Yanis, actually Nikos. Nico. Nikos Papachristopoulos to come and take over our push. So, Mr. Tsakiris, and to deliver his keynote remarks. And then the other panelists, Marinos Giannopoulos, Orestes, I see you there. And Antigone, where are you? Bravo. Λοιπόν, έχεις το ρολόι κάτω, το βλέπεις. Now, in the next room, we continue the discussion on the Athens Stock Exchange, the investment opportunities there. So here we talk about investment opportunities in Greece and financing tools. And in the next room, we have about the Athens Stock Exchange. Λοιπόν, ας βγάλουμε μια φωτογραφία τώρα. Ο άλλος φωτογράφος που πήγε κάθεται. Έλα. Λοιπόν, ξεκινάς με το λίγο.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very delighted to be here today representing the European Investment Bank. First and foremost, I would like to extend my congratulations to the organizers of this outstanding initiative, which annually provides Greece with the opportunity to showcase its growth and its potential to the markets. So I will try briefly to describe how the European Investment Bank Group supports and accelerates investments in Greece, but also what new products we are going to develop in order to improve the competitiveness of the country. Let me begin by saying that every year we sign agreements, funding agreements, with Greek counterparts, in the private and the public sector, exceeding 2 billion euros annually, which is ranks Greece amongst the highest beneficiaries within the European Union. These investments are further enhanced by other EU financial instruments, such as the guarantee under the InvestEU that we are managing, and the recovery and resilience funds that also part of it is under our facilitation, thus amplifying their positive impact in the Greek economy. Certainly, all the projects we finance fall under the 8 strategic priorities of the European Investment Bank, and mainly under the energy transition angle, a priority set high in the agenda of both the European Investment Bank and the Greek government. At the same time, we are attracting private investments, creating a multiplying effect. A great example of this is our collaboration with the Hellenic Development Bank for Investments through our subsidiary, the European Investment Fund, which bolsters the equity startup ecosystem in Greece. Ladies and gentlemen, the European Investment Bank's effort in Greece is directed towards vital areas that foster resilience and sustainable growth. For that reason, we are working towards a 360 degrees approach when it comes to the private sector. That is, providing innovative financial tool for companies that cannot have access to traditional funding, with a variety of products from the European Investment Funds to guarantees, lending, technical assistance, and grants. In addition, we provide substantial technical assistance, as I said before, to companies to improve their capacity building and finally have access to the banking sector. All the above, in a most of the times, are blended with grants from the European Commission, also from Brussels, but national as well, and therefore the multiplier effect is much bigger. In Greece, there has been a tremendous increase in foreign direct investments in the last years. However, in order to sustain competitiveness and economic momentum, it requires a new wave of transformative investments. These investments should prioritize promoting innovation, improving energy efficiency, and moving towards a net zero emission economy. But at the same time, we should provide the proper financing to support the small and medium enterprises, which are a vital part of the Greek economy. Ladies and gentlemen, the European Investment Bank will continue to stand by Greece, providing not only financial resources, but also technical expertise and strategic partnerships. Together, we aim to build a future that is fair, sustainable, and resilient for all Greek citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tsakiri. Your speech has indeed set the tone for our panel and emphasized EIB's crucial role in Greece's efforts to achieve convergence with other more advanced EU economies in every sector. Ladies and gentlemen, Greece finds itself in particularly favorable circumstances. A massive investment program and funding by the RRF and EU structural funds, combined with significant revenue increases due to measures against tax evasion, are closing the country's investment gap at the faster pace than expected and reducing the fiscal burden on Greek citizens. The Greek government has announced a colossal public investment program exceeding 42 billion euros by the end of 2026 as part of the 2025 budget. This includes funding from the RRF and EU structural funds, supplemented by domestic state financing. It is intended that these funds be allocated for projects across all sectors of the economy, including construction, infrastructure, energy, health, education, and digital development in key areas. As a result, private investment is expected to increase by 6.7% in 2024 and 8.4% in 2025, up from 6.6% in 2023. These key figures underpin the recently announced plan of the Greek government to transform the production model in the country through a more than 8.5 billion euro economic stimulus package aimed at boosting investment and creating new jobs throughout Greece, especially in less developed regions. Within the context of these exciting developments, We are honored to have with us distinguished representatives from the institutions tasked with steering Greece's investment programs. Mr. Marinos Giannopoulos is the CEO of Enterprise Greece, the country's ambassador and one-stop shop for foreign investors. Welcome. Mr. Orestes Kavalakis is the governor of the Recovery and Resilience Facility Coordination Agency, the lead national body tasked with the overall coordination and monitoring of the National Recovery and Resilience Plan. And Mr. Digon Liberopoulou is the CEO of the Hellenic Development Bank of Investments, the sovereign fund of funds of Greece, which is steadily working towards the enlargement of the equity ecosystem in Greece by participating in venture capital and private equity funds. I turn now the floor to Mr. Giannopoulos. Marino, what makes Greece a unique proposition in the global investment landscape, and how does Enterprise Greece ensure these strengths and effectively communicate it to investors?
Thank you, Nico. Thanks to Mr. Nico and Olga Bornozzi for inviting us, having the 26th annual Capital Link and putting together amazing panels and like the one here today. First of all, Greece has undergone extensive reforms, has created a pro-business environment, and have regained the investment-grade status in 2023. You have already heard before from the second panels all the achievements that have been going on. We're talking achievements about fiscal consolidation, public debt reduction, consistent GDP growth that has enhanced Greece's credibility. Of course, we're talking about the strategic location in Greece. We're talking about crossroads of the Europe, Asia, Africa. And we serve as a natural gateway for trade, logistics, energy that make Greece a critical hub in the global value chains. Of course, Greece is a member of the European Union and NATO and offers a stable political environment that reinforces investors' confidence, something that the investor really needs to see to be able to come and invest anywhere, for that matter. Greece boasts a highly educated labor force, particularly in sectors like technology, engineering, and contributes, like in a way, its emerging status as an innovation hub. There are opportunities in renewable energy, ICT, tourism, real estate, agricultural and logistics, that make sure that we have a robust sectoral diversity for all kinds of investors. Now, going to what we asked before, Greece offers a comprehensive package of incentives that include tax breaks, grants, subsidies, underlaws, and promoting investments in key sectors. We have with us Mr. Kavalakis and Mr. Algueropoulou, which they're going to talk about specifically about the RRF and the tools that can help in finance using those incentives. We have under Enterprise Greece the fast track regime, where it's a fast track mechanism to streamline procedures for strategic investments that ensure efficiency and clarity for all investors. Greece 2.0, which Orestes will talk about before, prioritizes the sustainability and digital transformation. I think the minister himself spoke about 36.2 billion of available funds. Exports have surged by 36%, reaching 55 billion, that reinforces Greece's integration in global markets. Now, not to take much of your time and to answer the second part of your question, what does Enterprise Greece do promoting and communicating all of that? First of all, we utilize targeted campaigns, high-profile events like the one here today, collaborations with international partners, and to actually inform about the position of Greece as a top investment destination.
And in such connection, if I may, what feedback do you receive from international investors about doing business in Greece? And how is Enterprise Greece addressing any challenges raised?
I think we should hear from the investors themselves. I believe we have a video we can quickly show for that.
I'm Paul Gomopoulos.
My name is Marcos Veremis.
Kalimera. I'm Aristoteles Kadavas.
I'm Apostolos Kakos.
I am Theodore Trifon.
I am Dimitris Demos.
I'm Michael Perihakis.
I'm Joseph Saman.
My name is Alexandros Katsopoulos.
My name is Kostis Rokas.
I think 2022 is going to be a landmark year for the tech
ecosystem in Greece.
We are creating data gravity in the country.
The returns we see in Greece are twice what we see in the rest of Europe.
We really believe in Greece.
Because we have seen a huge transformation in the country.
Shall we continue?
Basically, we like to talk with success stories. We've been having amazing success stories in Greece, major players that have been invested in Greece, and I think it's just a part of what has been going on. And of course, I don't want to take more of your time, but just to give you an idea of what's going on. I mean, all the surveys have been showing strong investor confidence, and Greece has been ranked as the world's fastest improving investment destination for 24 to 28. Now, of course, there are challenges ahead, and there are challenges raised. And feedbacks that we have received highlighted issues such as the bureaucracy, of complex regulatory framework, and permitting delays in areas that definitely need improvement. Of course, it's something that the government recognizes. There are measures being taken place, and that's why there are tools and organizations like mine to be able to help streamline those investments. The Greek government has introduced the tax reductions, starting to streamline procedures even more. And in Enterprise Greece, we do offer personalized investment services, including site selection, business matchmaking, and then ongoing support throughout the investment process. Enterprise Greece works closely with the government agencies. We work closely with Antigone and, of course, Mr. Kavalakis and the Recovery Resilience Fund to be able to resolve any investors' concerns and improve the overall business environment.
Can we for a moment discuss about regional development and what Enterprise Greece can do?
Of course. Enterprise Greece actively promotes investment opportunities across all regions of and all sectors of the country. Investments like in renewable energy, tourism, agriculture, logistics are prioritized to leverage the unique advantages of the various regions. We place significant focus on upgrading and promoting the regional infrastructure so that for the accessibility will be enhanced. And what we plan to do as the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Enterprise Greece, we plan to establish regional offices of extroversion that aim to provide localized support and connect businesses with the national markets and offer tailored assistance for investment projects. Because the region themselves are the ambassadors that they need to promote, and they know better what they have in all the investment projects.
Thank you very much. Turning now to Mr. Kavalakis, Oresti, when do the RRF financed programs end, and how important has their contribution been until now?
Thank you very much. Good morning from my side. Thank you, Mr. Bornozzi, for the invitation. It's absolutely an honor and a pleasure to be here again. First of all, I would like to start by saying a couple of words about the Recovery and Resilience Facility, what it is, what is the importance of it, and what is the state of play right now, and what does it do for future investments and future investments in Greece. First of all, the Recovery and Resilience Facility is a groundbreaking financial instrument launched by the European Union as an answer in response, actually, to the challenges posed by COVID-19 pandemic. It has many, many distinctive characteristics. For us, it's a major instrument. It's close to 36 billion euros, and it's equivalent of 16.3% of GDP, of 2023 GDP in Greece. It has many novelties. Basically, it's a performance-based instrument, which means that we have proposed a plan in the European Commission, a plan that has reforms and projects, and this plan has been accepted. It was the first plan to be accepted by the European Commission, and now we have until August 2026 to make sure that this plan will be fully implemented. So the 36 billion is actually two big pillars. The first one is 18 billion, which is grants, and we have an 80 billion of a loan facility. Actually, it's It's low interest loans that I will specify later. So, until now, we have received more than 50% of the 36 billion. Actually, October 24 is 18.2 billion. And we have a total 30% achievement in milestone targets. What is very important to say is that we have almost 380 milestones. We have 9 payment requests. So every year we have 2 payment requests for grants and loans that we have to achieve certain milestones and targets in order to get the money from the European Union. So what is very, very important is that this is a performance-based instrument. It's a performance-based instrument and includes both investments and reforms. It combines grants and low-interest loans.
Would you say that the programs have covered a sufficiently wide field of activities?
Yes. Right now, let me just say that we have 115 projects in a green transition, which is a total budget of 7.7 billion euros. We have digital transformation on 76 projects. Actually, there is a small digital revolution in Greece with all the almost 3 billion euros in digitalizing the all the government sectors to enhance competitiveness. And we have also employment, skills, social cohesion, 5.6 billion. And we have private investments for 6.1 billion. Of course, the Repower chapter was 800 million, which was the chapter included in the last revision of the plan.
And moving on to the next question, what impact have investments and reforms financed through the RRF finance programs had on the Greek economy?
Okay. so, we have it's very good when other people say about your progress. So, for instance, we have the European Commission's 2024 report that highlights that Greece has a very strong implementation performance for the RRP. We have Bank of Greece report that estimates GDP increase by 7% by 2026 due to RRF. Moody's estimates that the RRF will boost Greece's potential growth by 0.7 percentage points annually through 2030. And the European Commission has predicted a 5% rise in private investments by 2025 and potentially adding 0.8% to GDP growth compared to a scenario without the program. So I think it's a very, very significant effect of the RRF in the Greek growth and Greek economy.
Thank you very much. And Adigoni, what are the main areas of support offered by the bank, in particular for startup ecosystems and for green and digital investments?
So, good morning. I'm really delighted to be here today and share with you the achievements, as the Mr. Bornozis mentioned earlier, achievements and opportunities. So, just a few words on HDBI and what is offering to the Greek ecosystem, and especially the startups and the green and the digital transformation of the country. We operate as the sovereign fund of funds. We have under management 2.1 billion euros. 500 million come from the RRF, and this is a great point to say that we had a great collaboration with the management authority of the RRF, and Mr. Kavalakis. We are the first country and the first institution to introduce the equity instruments by using RRF resources. And we have mandated, we have designed two programs from these RRF funds, the Innovate Now and Q Equity platform. So what we do is we manage these public and European funds in order to invest in venture capital and private equity funds. And We strongly believe that in this dynamic financial landscape, we need to be resilient and flexible and introduce new strategic and sustainable business models. To this end, HDBI acts as a catalyst for the innovation in the startup ecosystem and ensures that the startups have access to capital and resources whenever they need them in order to develop cutting-edge products and services. At the same time, HDBI contributes to building a more resilient ecosystem, an economy that by fostering business culture that encourages creativity, risk-taking, and commercialization of the new technologies. I mean, this is imperative. And our key role is also to address societal and environmental challenges, aligning our philosophy with the global sustainable development goals. We also focus on the sectors, the renewable energy, as I mentioned earlier, the sustainable agriculture, which must be in a new trend, and green technologies. So HDBI ensures that Greece can transition towards a more sustainable, inclusive economic model. What we also do is that we focus on building a great and long-lasting cooperation. This is also an evidence of the synthesis of today's panel. The RRF authorities and Mr. Kavalakis provides the funding and the infrastructure. Mr. Yannopoulos does a great and excellent job in promoting what is there, and our role is to execute. And by today, I think it is evident that there is a vibrant VC private equity ecosystem. HDBI today has invested in 32 new funds that mainly target Greece. And what is also very encouraging, it is, although the mid part of this market is quite well developed, now we see the need for development in the edges, the technology and very early stage investments in seed financing and technology transfer, and the bigger, the larger growth funds and infrastructure funds that is currently under development in Greece.
And could you share some of the bank's success stories, please?
Oh, yes, I have plenty. And it's not only numbers. The numbers I mentioned, we have invested more than 800 million. Committed to invest more than 800 million, and there's plenty of money available. So the first goal is that money is available. We have solved a major issue that harnessed Greece the previous year, so there is availability of capital. This is evident, and actually this message has passed also to this side of the Atlantic. And we see interest from international investors. We see interest from fund managers that want to land in Greece, and also founders that want to create companies also in Greece. They have traveled. Apart from that, I would like also to say that we have gained the sovereign interest, and we have managed to attract funds from Middle East, and more specifically from the United Arab Emirates. We have a co-investment agreement in place with Mubadala. Mubadala has already invested in three of our funds and soon to invest in more. I think we have managed to bridge the diaspora, as I said earlier. So we receive the interest from fund managers and founders and foreign capital. We have managed to help creating an ecosystem that is not only vibrant but also inclusive. We have seen the increase in the female also participation in the investee companies and the fund management teams. And also, if I would like to recall a few successes that have been made by HDBI's external funds, to give you an example and perhaps a piece of encouragement for focusing again on the traditional sectors that need to be blended by the new culture and the new technologies. Two of our first investments, like 15 and 20 years ago, acting then as Daneo, is Mastiha and Krokos Kozanis. And I need to mention these examples because by the introduction and the investment of an institutional investor like a VC fund operating then, these two agro products that were in the form of the of association of the farmers, let's say, they have become multinational companies, and I'm very proud of that. And there are soon we'll have more.
Great. And what has been the response of the business world to the opportunities and support offered by the bank?
Here I can provide the number. We have received more than 160 applications for funds that wanted HDBI to be also an investor. And this proves that there is an interest. The happy thing is, the nice thing is that we see an interest in all the sectors and all the stages of development of the companies. So there is no concentration in one particular part. And as the market evolves, we see a differentiation in their interest and the investors' appetite. Of course, what matters, and we have to underline that, is that the macro figures and the growth in the macro figures is essential. Also, we need to highlight the growth of in the micro level. I mean, the Greek companies have yet to give. Mm-hmm. So this is also imperative. We are open. Our invitations are open to the fund managers. Whenever there is a good opportunity for a funding scheme, we need to be there, available, resilient, and as we need. We participate in this scale-up initiative because Europe has understood that there is a gap in the scaling up financing. Mm-hmm. So we all participate, NHDBI and Greece, in this scale-up initiative in order to invest more heavily in the scale-ups in our continent in order to maintain the technological sovereignty there, and we also participate there. And by being open to these initiatives, we have also attracted the interest of European and pan-European funds that wants to include Greece as an investment territory in their radar. So I think this is also an achievement. The brain gain, as I mentioned, the quality of the fund managers, the availability of funds, and also our involvement, the participation in the modernization of the regulatory and legal framework, which is also something that we have to mention because we have a very competitive legal structure. We are creating more and more not only tax but also regulatory incentives for the investors and the fund managers to operate.
Can you give an example?
The what?
Can you give an example, please?
For the tax incentives, yes, so there are tax incentives for the
and the business, regulatory.
For the business angels that was introduced like 3 years ago, and that is facilitating the entrance of business angels in Greece. Currently, we are performing some improvements in the ACES legal structure framework that facilitate even further local and foreign investors to participate in these schemes. And just a note here that the introduction of the ACES legal structure 20 years ago brought Greece in the fourth country in ranking of having the most favorable investment framework. So this is also...
Reducing the regulatory framework, because I'm a capital markets lawyer, is key to make investments. Okay.
Yes, and also you have probably everybody has heard Ursula von der Leyen addressing the need for the support of the scale-ups and startups in Europe, and perhaps to create a separate framework for the operations.
I'm not saying that we should forget about accountability, but, you know, over-regulating a particular activity may have, you know, adverse effects, I think, my personal opinion. Thank you very much, all. I think from our discussion has been made clear that Greece is a solid investment proposition. Key strengths include our geopolitical position, political stability, and an investor-friendly government committed to reforms to boost sustainable economic growth. It is also clear that the institutions represented in our panel today are all capitalizing on these strengths and working together towards a common goal, to lead the country's economy, institutions, and society into a new era, leaving behind uncertainty and building the future Greece is entitled to, a future of reclaimed potential and optimal use of capacities. Many thanks to all.